His name. Excuse me for being a little bit broken up, but you know, God, He's just been so good to us and blessed us in so many ways. It's good that we can stand one more time to praise His name and worship Him. You know, that's what we're here for, to bring His presence into our midst this morning. I didn't know I was going to get broken up. Singing that song, I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we can trust Him. Amen. God bless you this morning. How many love Him this morning? You come to worship Him. Let's sing that song, Here We Are. Excuse me for being a little bit. I can't help it. Just me. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are, praising Jesus. Things He brought us through. Hallelujah. Hey! Hallelujah. Give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning. Let's sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, this morning before we change the order of the service. Amen. He is our provider this morning. Jehovah Jireh, my He's more than enough this morning. Praise His name. God bless you. This morning we welcome you to the service. Each one this morning, if we have any visitors, welcome you too. Also those listening by way of internet, I want to especially welcome you also. Amen. Pray that God would just give you a special blessing this morning. We're going to take our prayer request at this time. Bless Brother Smith if he would come this morning. As we pray, please help us pray for a special unspoken request. Thank you, the wards. So let's remember this unspoken request by the wards. God would meet that need. Please remember the Jackson family in prayer that aren't feeling well today. So let's remember them. We miss them this morning. Pray for Hannah Whitlock. She has a heart appointment tomorrow. So let's remember that. And prayer for Sister Mary Smith. Want to remember Sister Mary this morning. God would just meet her needs. Also, please remember Sister Shirley Buchanan and Sister Sarah Buchanan in prayer. Both are home sick. So let's remember that this morning as we pray. God would meet each of those needs this morning. Pray for our pastor. That's the way he's going to speak to us at the end of the song service. And we just want to keep him in our prayers. God would just keep him safe and bring him home safely over this trip. Amen. Maybe you have an unspoken request as Brother Smith comes. Pray, I cast all my cares. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burden down at your feet. God, I don't know just what to do. I cast all my care on you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful again, Lord, to be able to come to the assembly here and to worship you as a people, Lord, who are like minds. And we just thank you, Lord, for being part of the bride. And Lord Jesus, everyone that's here got here safely, Lord, and that's part of our prayer this morning, that they would be here safely, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for all your many blessings, Lord, and what you've done for each and every one of us. We thank you for our youth, Lord, who's been a blessing to us too, Lord, and all that they've done to help the older folks, Lord, and appreciate that so much. And Father, you've heard these requests that our precious brother Wayne, Lord, called out this morning, and we just pray that you just minister each and every one of them, Lord, in the way that those folks need to be ministered to. You know what the needs are there, Lord, and so we just need you to help those folks, Lord, and minister to them, we pray. We ask you, Lord, also to be with Brother Chisholm this morning. Speak to us through him, we pray, O Lord, and we just love you so much, Lord, and want to hear from you, and help us to always to be loving toward each other and caring for one another, Lord, no matter what happens, and to show our love, we pray. We just give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord Jesus, for everything you do, Lord, for us. In Jesus' name I ask it, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you this morning as you're being seated. Brother Keith is... and the family's coming to sing a song this morning. I'd ask them to sing this song. And I think somebody else had requested it also. Amen. They're coming to sing this morning.
Knows this song, so you can just help us sing it here. It's one of my favorites also. The song was originally written with two verses. I heard Brother Terry Tidwell sing the third verse one time, and it was definitely a bride verse. And I asked him about it. I thought he had written it, and he had not. I don't know who the sister was that wrote it, but when you hear this third verse, I think we can certainly sing this from our heart. I've got so much to thank him for.
When I look around and see the good things He He's done for me, I know. I'm unworthy of them all, but His blessings He freely gives. I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. Well, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, God has been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Sometimes along this way I kneel, I stop and say thank You, Lord, for all You've done for me. And some sweet day when I reach heaven's shore, Lord, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. Well, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, God has been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. I want to thank Him for letting me see this last day in time mystery. And I know that my name is on the book. Oh, the seals, they have been revealed. And any day now, that body change we could feel. We've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, God has been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Well, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, God has been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. When I think of what He's done and where He has brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Thank Him for.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Truly, we've got so much to thank Him for this morning, saints. Amen. Praise His holy name. I have a couple of announcements here this morning. There's a sign-up sheet in the library for our end-of-year party, which will be held in our new fellowship hall on December the 15th at 5 p.m. The sign-up will be in the library for 2 weeks. If you forget to sign up, please either call or text me. Let me know. Please bring $10 exchange gift. If you can't do this, please let me know. One will be provided. Children 3 to 12 will not be included in this exchange. There's also a sheet to sign up to bring desserts and also for volunteers to clean up. Let me know if you have any questions. Thanks, Sister Faye. So just any of that, if you need to see my wife, just see her and she'll help you out with whatever you need to know. So the Young Adult Sunday School will be held at 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. This is the class for the 13 to 17-year-old group. So remember that if you're in that group, they will be meeting 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand as our ushers come to receive the offering this morning. Praise His name. Amen. Let's sing, "You Are My All in All." Brother, go ahead. Mike, go ahead and pray if you would. Praise the Lord. When I am another good hand clap of praise. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We got Brother Barry standing by. Amen. Jeremy, you ready? Okay. Brother Barry, can you hear me? just wait on Him.
God bless you this morning. And we send greetings from Manila in the Philippines. I'm not sure if you can see me, but they tell me that I'm online here, so perhaps you can hear me well. It is midnight here on Sunday, and our day is over. All of our services are done. And I just wanted to call and greet you from Manila and let you know that all is well. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning about 10 a.m. Our time. And we'll be arriving on the same day, Monday, back in North Carolina again. This day has been an extraordinary day, and I wish I had the time to share with you all the things that have been done. But we had a wonderful meeting with the youth up in the mountains and the youth retreat, and we came down to Manila on Saturday and had a special service this morning with the church of Brother Roel Soriano. And in the afternoon, we were able to go out into the jungle, and it's up in the mountains in the jungle area. And there's a wonderful little group of people up there who had a church building, and it did not have a permanent type of deed to the property. And some corrupt businessmen came in and paid money and purchased a illegal deed and actually sent bulldozers in and tore down their building. So the church on the street, they have pictures of the church holding services on the street. And they salvaged some of the building materials from the torn down church. It would be just like bulldozers coming into our parking lot and tearing down our church, and you couldn't do a thing about it. And they bought a piece of land out in the jungle area, and that's cheaper to buy it out there, and put up a makeshift church. And it was just an absolutely amazing experience to be there. There was such a wonderful spirit and atmosphere in that little place, just bits of broken wood and metal tied together with wires, and they put out a tray of food, local fruits and so forth, and we spoke there and encouraged the people, prayed with them, sang with them, and I've got all of that on video, so I'll bring that back. And then came back tonight for a marriage banquet. They had the first ever marriage banquet in the country, and they asked me to speak this evening, and so it's just been a very full day. Got to meet a pastor from Zambia who came to the meetings here, and it's just been really exciting. So I have lots of things to share with you, lots of things to show you, and all the saints here, Brother Soriano, they send their love and their greetings to you, and they certainly have appreciated the time that we've spent over in their country. So I'm looking forward to coming back, and pray for us tomorrow morning. We'll be leaving very early your time. It'll be about midnight your time, and traveling back to the States. God bless you, and we trust that you'll have a blessed day.
Amen. Good to hear the report from Brother Barry, and I know the people over there really appreciate him and the work that they're doing there, and having someone to come in and help them through their troubles, and you know, even the things that's happened to them, they still got that Spirit of Christ, as the way he talked, that Jesus is with them, and you know, Satan will try to harm you a lot of times, but can't get you down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Dale's with us this morning. We're glad to have him. Let's stand this morning and sing "I Stand in Awe" as Brother Dale comes this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Dale, we're ready for you. You are beautiful beyond description. You are once they overcome religion. blessing the course again. And I stand in awe of you.
Praise this morning. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I feel a little bit out of practice. I took a little month of reprieve, and so I've been out west and just being a cowboy for a little while, and so we'll have to figure out how to do this again. But we just love the Lord and just greet you all in the name of the Lord. It's good to hear Brother Barry there and the saints there. I know are very blessed to have, amen, him there with them. And we're very blessed to be here with you, bring you greetings from the saints down Beaufort. And we left yesterday. It was about 75 some degrees, you know, and I didn't get out of the car until I got up here, and I didn't bring a coat. I thought, my goodness, I must have missed something. didn't get the memo. I needed a coat when I got up here. We were a little spoiled. So I guess it made it down south. Wife said she had to turn the air conditioner off. So we had good to be around the home folks. If you have your Bibles, we would like for you to go with us this morning into the book of Revelations chapter 2 there. And we want to preach on the overcomer this morning. We've titled it, He Helps Me Overcome. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Amen. Amen. Boy, if we was left to our own abilities or our own demises, why, surely we would fail, the song says. But, amen, he's here to help us today. And so we're just want to preach along those lines if the Lord would help us. And we're in Revelation chapter 2, and no doubt we could use any of these texts to the different church ages. But I want to make one comment from the Church Age book concerning this one verse of Scripture in chapter 2 and starting at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and I know that thou cannot spare them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And let us pray together. Father, here we are today, Lord, and reading about the Alpha Church, Lord. And here we are at the end. And, Lord, we realize that these conditions, Lord, that the first church found themselves in, Lord, that we are also finding ourselves, Lord, with the same temptations, the same deeds, the same spirits, Lord, that they had to fight there. But, Lord, we find them to be exponential and, Lord, and magnified, Lord, in the hour that we live. And so we pray, Father, that you will give us words of eternal life, that you will, Lord, that you will open the bread and the book, Lord, that we may partake of it, Lord. You said that we would eat the book, and Lord, that it would manifest itself through a bride body. Lord, we pray that you will help us today. Bless us, Lord, as we yield ourselves as best that we know how. And Lord, we're just asking you to come and be the speaker today. Be our helper, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. God bless you, friends, as you have your seats. I want to read from the Church Age book there to the Ephesian church. He says, Ephesians 2:7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, Brother Branham makes this statement. He says, this is the future reward to all overcomers of all ages. And I thought that was striking that he would make that statement from the very onset of the church ages. And here that we find the Ephesian church, they were a church that they started out, but they fell back, and they lost their first love, and yet here in our day we come to a time when the message comes in a fresh wave, and there's a newness that comes into our time that had never been seen in all the ages since the time of the Apostle Paul and those that were there at the beginning. And then now here comes a message with a freshness of the Holy Ghost that was actually representative of what took place back in the times of Pentecost, that they had never seen a ministry like that of Brother Branham with a prophetic gift, with the anointing of an Elijah that was on him, and so much that he would introduce the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the word form, that ministry that he had, that it would reveal the Son of Man again just before the catching away of the church. And the church came forth with such innocence and such zeal that we found that even while Brother Branham was on the scene, he gave testimonies of his own deacons and how that they would have dead people in the church and went down to the morgue before they were embalmed. You remember the story, and how the deacons, they stood the man against the wall and prayed, and life came back into his body, and there was different ones and the signs and wonders. Brother Branham began to tell Brother Neville and how that the gift of tongues and interpretation, and how that the very gift of God would operate through Brother Neville's life. But these different ones that we saw in those days that were so close around Brother Branham, we have many testimonies of different people, older gentlemen that have gone on now to their reward, and how that these supernatural gifts that they operated because it was a season for that. It was a time for that. It was a drawing card, Brother Branham said. He said it was the bait that was on the hook. Is that right? Amen. And so now that there was these things that were happening that began to draw our people, that began to draw our fathers and our mothers and even some of our older saints that are with us now that were there, that saw the manifestation of God when the prophet of God came on the scene. And so this newness, this freshness of the message was now on the scene at the time. And then we find that as time began to wane on, and time, you know, they all believed, well, by 77, you know, it was all going to be wrapped up. And so there was this great falling away that took place. And so we see in the church that once started out with such zeal and such faith, and then all of a sudden over time that it's begun to lose its first love, very much like the first church did. We realize that the Laodicean church was given a strong rebuke and was told how that it was that the age would show how that it was wretched and that it was miserable and it was blind and that it was naked and that it didn't even know that it was in such a condition of this delusional time that we live in, this time of Brother Bram called it a neurotic age, a time, he says in the Church Age book, he tells us that a condition of the people were in that they were not fit to live in, or that they weren't in with such a nervous tension and prosperity and all the things that were around. He said, you're not even designed to live in the age which we were brought into. And so now we're looking at the scripture, and he says, but to him that overcometh. And Brother Bob says that these overcomers promise that was given to the Ephesian age is given down to all the other ages. And we realize that this is a pattern, a precedent that is set there in the first church, and how that the second church had a promise to the overcomer, and the third church, and so on as it comes down until it gets to the last age. And he tells of the Laodicean age. He said, and to the overcomer, he said, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. And so now we have this exponential accumulated promises that have been handed down, one to the age, and then down to the next age, and down to, and now here we are at the end time, friends, and there's something that's been delivered unto us that is so special and so wonderful, and yet we find the people have become lax in their experiences. We find the people have become dull in their senses of the hour that we live in. We find the people are now just becoming so material-minded, so lukewarm in their spirits. And we find that that's a spirit that's on the church. And it's a time, the Bible says it's high time, that we come and shake ourselves and wake ourselves, for the hour is late, and we don't want to become like those who say that the Lord delays his coming, and that there's, we got plenty of time to eat and drink and be merry and plant and build. Oh, do you see the spirit that's on the age? And that we should be more zealous to serve God today than we've ever been in our lives. There should be a pinching going on every morning, every day of our lives. There should be a shaking going in our life, a stirring in our spirit to not become lax. You remember in the Pilgrim's Progress and how they went through the Enchanted Land. Probably didn't read it. Some of you did. Homeschool kids got to. Amen. And they said one time that the Pilgrim's Progress sold second to the Bible. And yet in our day we have very few people that have ever read it. And you can cheat. You can watch the little video, the cartoon, whatever. But get the concept. It's very important to us. They said that it was one of the books that Abraham Lincoln read every day. And so also Spurgeon also was a student of Bunyan. But there was so much in there. But remember the Enchanted Land. Now we can all see the Laodicean spirit or the Sodom age that we live in. And we can see that through Bunyan's eyes and his allegory when they were there at Vanity Fair. And they had to overcome that. They were given strength to overcome, and we realize that they rejected all the base sins of Vanity Fair. They refused it. They turned it down, and it actually cost Faithful his life. But yet, but from there was a witness and brought, I believe his name was Hopeful, that came from that. But what was striking to me was when they got to the Enchanted Land, that there was no, that there was no no pressure. You know, there was no tribulation. There was no calamity. There was no crisis. It was just a beautiful enchanted land. And they were told, I believe, by an evangelist or one of the encouragers along the way, to not slow down in the enchanted land, to press on. Don't stop there. Because there would come such a sleep that would come upon the people. And I thought, oh my, if we've ever come to the enchanted land, we're there, for instance. And, but yet, let the encouragement of Bunyan, let the allegory strike home today. Don't get lax to the enchanted land. When it's so comfortable, we have everything. We live in a social state. Nobody's going hungry. Nobody's going without power. Nobody's going without heat today. Amen. We've all got everything we want to. Amen. They're giving out cell phones and internet. Anything you need, everything you got, just pouring it on the people. And they're becoming sinful and more God-rejecting and more atheistic all the time. Oh, I say, God, help us to overcome. Brother Bam goes on in this quote. He said, this is the future reward to all overcomers of all ages. He said, when the last call to battle has been sounded, and when our armor has been laid down, then we will rest in the paradise of God, and our portion shall be the tree of life forever. Then, when the last call to battle, not in the heat of it, not in the midst of it, friends. I thought it was striking. I was reading a post yesterday. It told that I believe it was one of the Brother Jackson from out in Arkansas. He posted yesterday about his grandfather was in the First World War, and how that he had been summoned back into behind the lines, or not behind the lines, but back into the bivouac somewhere. And while he was there, he overheard a conversation of some of the high-ranking officers, of how that the next day, that they were going to, the war was going to come. They were going to sign armistice the next day. And yet, so he had to return back to the trenches. And so when he got to the trenches, he began to tell the men, just hold on one more day. Tomorrow the war is over. I just was so stirred by that, because today is the day when the First World War ended. And on 11-11, Brother Bam talks about it. He types it back to the 11th hour workers. He shows us how that was the first woe that came, and how that these things were so important to us, to show us the hour and the time that we were living in. And he brought it through the second woe, and he showed us that God had to stop these things, because the angels had to go to the four winds. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad that they, you know, we all have relatives that maybe fought in those wars, and they came home, and you're glad that they did, because you're here today, because God spared peoples, and God stopped the war from, and they said it was the war to end all wars, but they also knew that the Second World War could have been the war to end all people. And so Einstein, I think he said that if we go to the World War III, he said the next war after that will be fighting with clubs and sticks. He said because there wouldn't be anything left. He said there would just be, because he realized between him and Oppenheimer what they had developed and what they had come in contact with. They knew the dangers of it. But we realize that these are the signs of the time. And so here we are at the 11th hour. Brother Bam said, oh, if we could just see that they get the same reward as the first hour workers. Amen. And so now that here we are in the 11th hour, the 11th of the 11th. Oh my, here we're right at the end time, friends. And yet there's a promise to partake of the tree of life. He said, but it's only after the last call to battle has been given, and we lay our armor down. Friends, we're not laying down our armor today. I'm sorry. We still got another day to fight. We still got another day in the trenches. We still got another day where we're going to see people that are going to not make it. We're going to see casualties, and there's still the heat of battle is still on. You can't quit. Oh, so many times a race has been lost because the person at the front of the pack thought he had it. You know, he just became overcome. I got it beat, and he's ready to cross the line. And he looks over his shoulder just to see someone pass him at the last second. Oh my, don't give up until you've crossed the line. Don't give up until, amen, you've received your reward. I got this inspiration from a message I was listening to called Perfect Faith. And right at the very beginning of the message, Brother Bram was just kind of greeting the people. Sometimes, you know, we think, well, I'll skip over this whole greeting part, you know, get on into the message, you know. Well, and I guess I've been guilty of that as well, especially if I've heard this sermon two or three times. And you know, I want to get to the text, you know, I want to get to the preaching part. But, you know, this one time I was just sitting back, just listening to Brother Branham become personal with the people. And that always spoke to my heart that he never made himself of any reputation. He just was just a humble man and was just one of the boys in his heart, you know, though he realized that gift was something outside of himself and that it was, well, you know, it was way above himself. But he always wanted to, he talked about, I just wanted to have friends, you know, but he was always able to identify himself with the people. And, you know, and so I caught that in the beginning of this message, Perfect Faith. And Brother Bam says, now many of you will be waiting over until the morning, and that's got a long distance to go. And I appreciate that effort. And some of you will drive home tonight because you've got to go to work by daylight in the morning. And I know that that's hard. And he says, and when I think and I see that, and then he makes a statement. I get spells like that too. And so he just kind of identified with the struggle that humanity and people were having to go through, even just to come and to hear him minister. And so he uses this word, I get spells, you know. And I just thought of that and how that, you know, I guess it, like he did and like you do and I do, I suppose, we all have spells. Is that right? Now, that's not a word that we use. And so maybe some of our younger folks, they would say, well, I hate spelling. You see, so they don't really know what we're talking about. So for the sake of us all, we have to kind of define this word that Brother Bram is using here, spells. Basically, what it means is a bout or an attack, a fit, a condition that you get into. They call it in the old country, they call it spells. They'd have a spell of rheumatism, or you get a spell of asthma, or you get a spell of the blues, or whatever. It's just that they just called it a spell, and they kind of equated it back to the voodoo or witches or something cast a spell on you, and so then now you would have this attack or have this condition that would be the result of an attack or that actually ties it back to the to a bout like a boxer or a pugilist would fight. Well, that's a bout, and so a bout and a spell are kind of synonymous to each other. Everybody understands now. All right, so we're not having spelling. We're glad for that. You'd have to spell arithmetic, you see. Probably don't even know what arithmetic is anymore. And so, So he goes, I have these spells too, you know. And so I began to look at this, and it's so much that, you know, we see, as we've said, you know, it's the Sodom sign, it's the Sodom day. And so all this evil is in the land, you know, with the immorality, promiscuity, drugs, and vices, and all kinds of things that are in the land today. And God forbid that we would have any real trouble with those things in our ranks. We trust that we have enough good teaching and experience with the Holy Ghost that Brother Bam says my comforter wouldn't let me do those things. Is that right? And so we don't suppose we have any problems with, you know, drug addiction or adultery or those kind of base sins like that in our midst. God forbid, you know, there's still deliverance for those things. But I think maybe, you know, sometimes we don't realize, but, you know, the things that drag us down and cause the most depressions and things in our lives is these spells that we go through. It's not we're not living in sin. God forbid that we would do those things day by day. But that, you know, we just, like, all of a sudden, you just things change. You get circumstances, and Brother Bam says, he said, I know you go through. I go through spells. Prophet of God can go through spells. I suppose we can go through a spell every now and then too. But we all our spells are different, because maybe one would have a condition. Maybe it would be I want to read some of these, because I took the liberty to go through the message and go. I went to prayer lines, because this is where he was dealing with real people, and you and I are real people today. And I can always identify. You know, how many times have you been sick and have a certain condition, and you listen to a tape, and maybe you got a backache, or maybe you got a neck ache, or you're suffering with sugar, or you got blood pressure, or whatever it is. You know, you're going, you have pain in your body, and you'll be listening to a tape, and Brother Branham will call that out in somebody else. And you just say, I believe too, Brother Branham, I believe. And you just grab a hold of it all of a sudden right there on the tape. And then the next thing you know, it's gone. And you just got in under that, you know, because you just met the conditions that somebody else had. And you can just believe like they believed, and God honored your faith. Is that right? You've done that before. I've done that many, many times. And just seen just maybe a simple thing. You know, I remember one time I was sitting in my chair. I was just kind of having a spell, I guess. Maybe I was just kind of down in the dumps. Don't really get that way very often. But, you know, I was just kind of down. And maybe it was, you know, wintertime. It got dark and gloomy. And you know how you get, you know. And Brother Bam was in a prayer line. I just said, oh, if I was in that prayer line. And at that time, I was in really good health, and I didn't have nothing wrong with me. I said, oh, I would just pray that I would go to that prayer line. I said, I want a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I just said that in my mind. I was sitting there. I remember sitting in my recliner. I was just sitting there listening to the message. And the next thing I know, Brother Ramos says, you're not from here. He said, you're from out west. He said, you're a minister. He said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. You want a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was like, oh my goodness, how did that happen? You know, I mean, it was just exactly what I thought in my mind. And I was just listening to the tape, and it just come off the tape. Oh, I had me a spell right there. I'll tell you, one of them good ones, you know. And it took care of my other spell. Praise the Lord. And that's available to us today. And so, I just wanted to, if I could, just take a little bit of time. I'm just talking to you like friends this morning. And I hope this will help you. I know it's helped me. Brother Bam says, this is in a prayer line. I just kind of inserted these discernment line right in the midst of this quote. And so I wasn't splicing the tape, but I just, so for my notes' sake, is that all right? So I'm just injecting here. Brother Bam says, nervous spells. You have real upset spells like that, you know, like mental condition. And I don't know about you. I've never really had, well, I'm probably mental, but I don't know it. So leave me alone. I'm happy this way. But my dear wife, one time, I don't know what necessarily brought it on. I think it was maybe like she just had a baby, you know, and how the when you know I think it's called like postpartum or something like that. And but it got real bad, and my daughter has had the same thing. And she got real nervous. And then it got to the place where she was actually hearing like voices in her head, and she heard like blasphemies and curse words and just things that were coming to her mind, telling her that she was serpent seed and a lot of them. And you know, anybody knows my wife, she's a real saint and she's a real Christian and she loves the Lord and she knew she had the Holy Ghost, but yet these things were just bombarding her. And I was out of town, actually. I was Brother Bram said, you know, you get a, he said, now then, he said, a man oughtn't stay on the road like that all the time. He said, unless it's a ministry or something like that. And I paid a dear price because I went out I took a job that kept me away from home, kept me away from church. And I learned a valuable lesson that, you know, unless I'm on the road for the ministry, I don't want to spend any time away from my family. I want to be close to my home. I don't want to be laying out in a hotel for just no reason at all. It's just a bad thing. Not maybe so for me personally, but, you know, for the family. They need the dad at home. Amen. And so, but I mean, a ministry, God makes concessions for that. And, you know, if the family can travel together or whatever, that's all right. But I really don't recommend a man being gone from his family extended periods of time. I just, not for work or anything. Get a different job, man. You got a better responsibility than just bringing home the bacon. You know, you need to be there to be the high priest of the home. That's for free. I just throw that in there. But my dear wife, because I was gone, and she was staying with her family, actually. She was staying with her mom and dad, and he was the pastor of the church. And so they had, you know, it wasn't like she was, you know, in a backslidden condition or left to her own demise or whatever. But, you know, she had three or four little children at the time, and it was just a heavy workload, and we weren't making the best of money, and I was trying to do the best that I could, and the pressure became so much on her, and then she had just had the baby, and then these voices started bombarding her. When I finally got home, I found my wife was a wreck. She was a wreck, and so it was a time that we had to realize, look, these weren't base sins that we were having to overcome. This wasn't persecution by, you know, Muslim extremists. This was just home life became more than we could bear. Friends, if we don't have Christ as a centerpiece of our lives, and if we're not doing everything that we know to do that is right, these spells are going to hit you. But you need to have, amen, the ingredients. You got to have the wherewithal to stand there for, because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to throw everything he's got at you. And if you leave something unprotected, protected. That's what Brother Adam said. He said he's got a spot and he's going to strike that spot. So she had these nervous spells, and after that she would be struck with different times of fear, like something was going to happen to her children. And she was just a nervous wreck, and you know, it took a lot of prayer. Her deliverance didn't come overnight. Her resolve and these things, it didn't come overnight. It didn't come easy, and it didn't go easy. But we can say today we have victory. We overcame by the word of God and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And you know, we're stronger for it today because we went through it. And so, but Brother Bam talks about this. He says you have nervous spells, upset spells. You know, mental condition. Brother Bam, in another place, he says, you get moody. You get gloomy spells kind of late of an evening when the sun's going down and getting kind of a melancholy feeling. Southern folks don't really have that problem too bad. But you get, you know, they do. And I'm sure somebody's saying, well, I do. But you get people that's up in the north. And when the sun goes down at 3 p.m, don't come up again until 8 o'clock the next morning, you know. And it's just dark and gloomy all the time. And the sun don't ever shine. And oh my, people have depression, high rates of suicide. Oh my, it's just really bad, you know, way up in the far north and things like that. And that's why they want to come to the south where there's more sunshine. Sunshine's good for you, but we find that it's more than that. What about your spiritual sunlight? What about if we go like the Bible was saying that they lost their first love? What about those that let the, you know, don't let the Son of God shine in their life all the time? It don't take very long, friends, before you begin to become depressed. And you become oppressed, and you become backslidden, and the joy of the Lord is out of your life. Oh, friend, let me tell you, it's a rising of the sun this morning. He sent us strength in the hour that we live in. Amen. He said, and to them that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne. He goes on to say, he says, you get real weak. You suffer with spells, especially late of an afternoon. Even Satan told you he was going to lose your mind. Sometimes people, they listen to those voices. It's just a voice will come along and says, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, and we stop just long enough to listen. If you listen one time, you'll listen again. You see, you can't listen to that. You gotta cast down those reasonings. You gotta cast down those voices, because he'll tell you you're gonna lose your mind. He's gonna tell you this thing ain't the truth. He's gonna tell you that you're believing a lie. He's gonna tell you all these kind of things that you're in a cult or that nobody loves you. Hello. These voices, they come at different times, and he's going to find you when you're weak or you know, you think, well, why would he do that? Hey, what about the people that wrote great inspirations, like, you know, what was it? There was one song that was a great hymn that was written. The man came out from under the inspiration of writing this great hymn, and he went and committed suicide. Because he was so high up that when he came back down to reality, that he couldn't take it, and they lost their minds, and so we find that Satan will let you resist, and get under all kinds of emotional and spiritual strength, and oh my, you come through a meeting, you come through a revival. How many of them come through a real spiritual time in their life and really get lifted up in a service and get blessed and come up and get prayed for, walk out the back door and the devil hits you right in the nose? And you think, well, why did he do that? Well, he says, because you let down your bars. You let down your guard just for a second. He's way. You think you're invincible, but then all of a sudden, bam-o, you got it, and now you're knocked out, and you're wondering, how did I get here? Why did I get here? Because you relaxed in the midst of the battle. The high times in God, the spiritual blessings of God, they're there to strengthen you, to keep you on your guard, not to just say, oh, I got it, amen. Boom, drop your guard and bam, there you go. He knocks you out and you find yourself on your back. There's no time to relax. Amen. We're all going to go through spells, but that's when you need to strengthen yourself in the Word of God. Amen. We're getting to something here. I'll try to go faster. He says, Satan's told you he was going to lose your mind. That's right. But it's a lie. You're going to be well. Watch what he says. It's nothing but just the time of life that you're coming into. He explains, it's menopause. Every woman, because there's a woman in the prayer line, it's a menopause. It's every woman has to come to that, but you're going to be all right. And so any sister that's ever gone through these things or going through these things, you realize that. But what many times I find that is left not dealt with, because, you know, Brother Bam deals with this menopause like this quite frequently throughout the message. But I have one that maybe not to add to, but there's one that I call manopause. Hello. And men go through a change in their life just like women go through change in their life. But men handle it differently. Women usually become recluse and they don't want to talk to people, or they get headaches, or they get these flashes. They have more, it's more of a physical world that they're having to deal with. But a man, many times he'll get it in his head that, you know, maybe he's not the man that he used to be, or, you know, he's getting over the hill, or you know, he just, you know, he's lost his machismo or whatever, you know, and the next thing you know, he's went and bought himself a Harley. You know, he went and bought himself a Corvette, and now he doesn't know why he's doing it, but he just wants to feel, you know, the feeling again. Wants to get the wind in his hair, you know, if he's got any. Really. You know, because, he's a man, and he wants to feel like he's a man, and he loses that edge. And so they call it a midlife crisis. It's just menopause. And he needs to, and his wife, now Brother Ram says this, he said, when you see your little sweetheart going through that, he said, that's when you really need to be her buddy. When you really need to be her sweetheart. Well, guess what, sis? You got the same responsibility when he's going through that. You got to be his buddy. You got to be his confidant. You got to be his lover, his friend. You got to be there for him just like he's got to be there for you. Otherwise, why? Because God gave you each other to help each other overcome. And I can overcome if I have some help. I need the Holy Ghost, but I also need a help meet. Is that right? And so, always appreciated to have a dear wife that would stand by you in times of struggle. He said, but it's just the time of life. And so our young people are saying, man, our parents are really weird. They're some really messed up people. You know, don't ever get old. Well, guess what? When teenagers go from that little child into that young adult, they go through a child pause. You go through teena pause. That's right. You're going all through it. It's all, everybody has it. And Brother Brown actually said it's the same thing that teenies go through that adults go through. It's just a change of life. You go through and there's going to be these changes. Brother, I'm talking about there's a change every 7 years. And so there's a seven-year cycles that you go through in life, and you all go through, and that creates a spell at that time. I don't know how many times I've had young men come, you know, little fellas, you know, like 11, 12 years old, come into the prayer line. I had these horrible pains in my chest, you know. I get these cramps in my sides. It's just the change. It's just your body is, bones are getting bigger. Your muscles are changing. You're getting shots of hormones that you never had before. Little girls go through the same process and they don't understand why they're going through these emotional mood swings. But Brother Ben said it's right along in those times. He said that's when you really need to seek God. He said because that's when you're sensitive and the Holy Ghost can come into your life. He said if you wait until you get out past 21. It's a quote. Brother Ben said, after 21, he said, you're set in your ways. But when you're sensitive, when you're down there, and that's why older people have a greater chance to get an experience with God, because they're getting closer to the grave. They're getting closer to the time. They're going through these changes in their life. Bad things have happened to them. They've gone through the tests of time. And so they get sensitive to God. And so you have that gap between about 21 and 51. And then that's when they really, you know, go out and make a lot of money and do whatever they got to do. But that's right out there is where they go and mess up their lives. Because they're set in their ways and they don't need God. Oh, but young people, you need God. Old people, you need God. You people in the gap, you need God. Amen. We all need God. We got to overcome. And so he goes in here. He says, you're going to be all right now. And he asked her a question. You believe my word. You believe my word? Not my word, his word. Amen. I believe it. Now watch. Just going on with some of these. He said, now that's what we do. Sometimes we go off on a tantrum somewhere and not think about God, not pray over it, ask the Lord whether, see, these are these people in the gap. You know, they're 21, they're 22, they're 25, they're 35. Oh, I got it under control. I got a good job. I'm a mover. I'm a shaker. I've got it happening, right? And so they go off on this tantrum. They don't think they need to pray over it anymore. They've got it all figured out. I'm just adding in here. Ask the Lord whether we should do it or not. We find out that our supply of blessings is cut off. But yet, they're in that zone where they're making money. They're driving a new car. They've got a new house. They've got a SUV. They've got a ATV. They've got a, you know, they've got a drone. They've got everything they ever wanted in life. And so now then, you know, they've got all these things and they think, oh, well, I've got the tiger by the tail. I've got this thing whooped. Oh no. Let me tell you, friends. Amen. You're getting your blessings. You're blessing yourself. But there's going to come a day that you're going to want God's blessings. Because material wealth is not a sign of God's approval. Material things are not a sign of God's approval, and neither is rain and cloudy skies a sign of His disapproval. Oh, but let me tell you, God is mindful of the condition of your heart. And if your heart doesn't want to serve God, if your heart is just happy out in the realms of materialism and modernism, then when it's all said and done, you'll have your own blessings, and that's all you'll have. Because the Bible says, what is a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? What is a man if he's not insured beyond the grave? What is a man if he's got all the houses and lands and all these kind of things, but yet he hasn't ever made peace with God? Oh, thou fool, this day your soul is required. He said, your supply of blessings is cut off. Then we wonder sometimes, well, why can't I get no more blessings? You don't watch. You let down in your prayer life. And, you know, I would that y'all didn't have a care in the world. That, you know, that you had no need of nothing in your life. That you didn't even have a want for nothing. Had an extra house and two or three extra cars and you know, had all the money to pay for the insurance. You know, the more you get, the more you need. I pray that you prosper and be in good health. That you never had to go to a doctor, that you never had a sick day. And I want every one of you to have those things. I really do. As much as it would be in the will of God. That's for sure. We sure don't want to, you know, we don't want to take away anything. We don't think we ought to be monks, you know, and live lives of silence and those kind of things. That's ridiculous. But to me, those things aren't really, they're not really blessings. You know, they're benefits. Benefits of serving God. He's going to make sure that you, he said, I was young and now I'm old, and I haven't seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. Amen. It's a blessing to be a Christian and to serve God. But you know, sometimes I believe, like Brother Barry was saying, those people that lost their church and having church out in the street and everything, many times their blessings are much, much more tangible than our blessings are. You know, because we want to judge our spiritual blessings based on, you know, how comfortable we are. But sometimes I believe that our spiritual blessings will come in the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our discomfort. And he has to send us those things so that we'll have a desire to leave here. Remember, Brother Brown talked about the eagle stirring the nest. You know, sometimes I think that the Laodicean people have become so comfortable that, you know, they're just comfortable to be here. You know, and I think that that's maybe going to be one of the great things that we must overcome. We were looking, Brother asked a question the other day about, I forget what it was, the boycott. And how, what was going to happen, but it was the boycott going to come and was going to, you know, would the bride see that? Or that would just be in the tribulation. Brother Brown makes statements concerning it. He talked about those of us that would actually be shot for praying for people. And there will be levels of, I don't believe it's tribulation, but there will be levels of persecution and squeeze and pressure that will come upon the Church of the Living God. And this boycott, I don't know how that it's going to manifest itself, but Brother Bram said, he said, they'll stop us from preaching. Is that right? And so now then we find that there's such an attack on live ministry right now. You wonder where some of these pressures are going to come from ultimately. And so I find that it's imperative that we find ourselves in the house of God as frequently as we can. Brother Bram says we can enjoy these kind of services now. He said, but there's going to come a day when we won't be allowed to do this. And so I don't know where it will come from altogether. But, you know, these things counter many blessings. Name them one by one. Just following the notes here, I just said, Brother Bam says, I said about how that we must be happy all the time. God don't want you to be sad. You know what ill temper does. And so this is a spell that that people go through. And my people were Scots Irishmen, and so just a bunch of red-headed, hot-tempered people. And used to have more freckles than I do now, but used to be just a little freckle-faced little fireball, and I was ready to fight anything that come my way. Just a scrapper, and couldn't take, just looking for an opportunity to get mad and bump my head. Oh my, I'd break something just like that, just to fly off, just to eat up with temper all the time. Vengeance, revenge, you know, strike out, lash out. Oh, just at the littlest thing, looking for the opportunity to do that. My whole family are like that to this very day. Don't let a cow kick over the milk bucket. Poor cow. You know, don't let the horse throw its head. You know, they weren't horse whisperers. My people, they didn't whisper at nothing. You know, that poor horse, he, you know, well, we had to shoot a lot of horses. Let's put it that way. And, you know, they're just mean, cruel people, angry. I had a cow the other day, and I was trying to get her in the pen. And the poor old thing, she's traumatized. She got her head hung in a feeder, and I had to cut her out with a welding torch. And since that day, he's just been, he can't get within 50 yards of him. He's just wild. But he's looking pretty good. You know, he's got an appointment with the butcher. But man, I can't get close to him. Can't get anywhere near him. So I got him going for the corral and got him in. Man, the thing went berserk. Ran right through a $70 horse gate. Tore the thing plumb off the barn. And you know, all I had to do was just walk away shaking. I said, I'm not going to have a spell. And I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Cow. I love you anyways. I love you with ketchup, especially. So I just had to love him and say, your day's coming, honey. And it won't be so nice next time. And I'd just go on and just go drink a cup of coffee and forget about it. But I wanted him in the pen, you know. I wanted a calf of the stall. I wanted to get him lots of corn and love him, and, you know, and treat him real good. I was going to, man, he would have had like paradise on earth for the last 30 days of his life. But I wanted to go get the gun and shoot him is what I wanted to do. But I just had to relax and, you know, because that temper has always been something that I've had to just really just give to God. You know, because Brother Bram, I know what Brother Bram said about it. He says, you see, you know what ill temper does, and that old temper, that's one of the awfulest old things. You're talking about awfulest old things. You got to fight that temper. If you let that temper get a hold of you on a regular basis, and your family knows whether you do or not. And watch this. It's about 60% of all 60% of the cause of all sickness is temper. I thought, oh God, I don't want to be sick. I want that thing buried under the blood. I want it as far beneath Calvary as I can put it. Oh my. And he says, them tantrums you fly loose, remember, you're just developing cancer, ulcer, or something like when you do it. When you get all stewed up about somebody, I won't go back there anymore. Wait till I give them a piece of my mind. All right. Remember, you're the one that's going to pay for it. Just keep happy. Amen. Just keep happy. Oh, my. Brother Bam goes, he says, he's dealing with Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. He goes, what are we to overcome? That is the normal question that's asked here. And we've given you many examples. Nervousness, lust, drugs, all these kind of things are things that we have to overcome. The cares of life, materialism, lackadaisical spirits, praying, menopause, manopause, kidopause, teenopause. All these things that we have to overcome. These are all things that we overcome. And so we're giving you this list. And you can write them all down. It'll be a list this long. But Brother Ram goes on to say, he says, the normal question is to ask here is what are we to overcome? But that is not the actual thought of the verse. It's not what we are to overcome. But Brother Ram says, for it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. Now, this is logical, for does it matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how to overcome? Oh, my. And then I want to just close with these thoughts right here this morning that there's a way to overcome. And Brother Bram tells us, he says, now then Jesus, when he met the enemy in the wilderness, that he didn't overcome with his mighty power, though he could have. But he chose rather to use the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he said, why did he do that? He said, so that the weakest saint would always have the same tools to overcome with as the Lord Jesus overcame with Himself. Oh, friend, that just caused my heart to be overcome with joy to know that God has equipped me with the very thing, the very tool that He said to him that overcometh will sit with me in my throne. To him that overcometh will have the part with the tree of life. To him that overcometh, amen, will be able to have a new name. To him that overcometh will rule with a rod of iron. To him that overcometh, hallelujah, amen. How they overcome? With the word of God, hallelujah, amen. And so, Brother Branham, he goes on, he says, then go thank God. How are you going to overcome? By thanking God for the victory. You say, but I don't feel the victory. Thank Him anyways. Thank Him in advance. He becomes the high priest of your confession. That's the Word of God. The Bible says, be ye therefore thankful. He said, for in the last days there will be perilous times when there will be unholy, unthankful. Oh, do you see the spirit that's on the age? They think it's an age of entitlements. That you're entitled to have a good church. You're entitled to have a good preacher. You're entitled to, you know, to come and sit in an air-conditioned room. You're not entitled to those things. They aren't rights. Those are the grace of God, the blessings that God has given you. You ought to thank God every time you walk through the door. Somebody paid the price. Oh my. You ought to, people that said they sit down at the table and they just start feeding their face. He said it's just like a hog eating apples under a tree and never look up to see where the apples are coming from. Oh, we ought to be looking up every day. Oh, thanking God, amen, that we have our families around us. Thanking God that we have strength in our bodies to go to our jobs. And thankful to God that we have our right minds about us. Brother Man says, then go thank God. You say, that's how I overcome? That's what the Bible says. Thank Him. In all things, give thanks. Thanks. Just simple gratitude in an age when they're the most ungrateful bunch of heathens, atheotic, Brother Man, call it despotic, atheotic people. They don't care. They're not thankful anymore. They're unholy, unthankful, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness. You say, oh my, you mean them kind of people are sitting right in our churches? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know how many times that I have prayed for people. They come up and they get prayed for and they turn around and go, walk back to their chair. What is that? You just poured your guts out for somebody. You summoned all the faith that's in your human ability. You've called upon God. You've pleaded the word, the blood, the name of Jesus Christ over a poor person's sick body. And they walk away and they don't even thank God. They don't rejoice. They don't go sing songs. They don't even go back and clap their hands. They just go sit there. Look like that little frog that was in my dashboard the other day. He's just sitting there. People just don't have a revelation. The Bible says to be thankful. Oh my, you get a man that'll pray for your soul, that'll lay hands on you and obey the word of God. And how many times you hear Brother Bram on the tape? Now go rejoicing. Go rejoicing. Praise the Lord. What is that? Oh my. I think there ought to be hands waving. There ought to be people rejoicing, thanking God. You know, Brother Bram says in prayer lines, I tell people this all the time. Go testify to somebody that God just healed you. Go tell somebody. Out the door they go. They don't ever go tell nobody nothing. How can God act upon your confession if you're not thankful? You thank Him in advance. You testify of your healing in advance. That's an exercise of your faith. Watch. I title these the Overcomer's Cure. These are the Overcomer's Cure. First, be thankful. This is right in line with Brother Bram saying here. I bullet pointed the quote, but this is exactly in order the way that he did it. He said, go thank God and sing songs. You mean I don't have to take a correspondence course? You know, I don't have to go to, you know, two or three overcomer seminars. You know, we're not going to have an all-night prayer vigil. No. Just thank God and go sing songs. You say, sing songs? Yeah, you come up and you want to be delivered. You want to be set free. Amen. Thank God. I am free. Free. Oh, just sing it all the way out until you testify to somebody. Amen. Give God the praise for healing you in advance and regardless of what you feel. Brother Adam says, amen. He said, that old arm won't come straight. He said, you just act like it will. He said, you can't walk on that leg. You just keep acting like you will. Sing songs, rejoice, and be made well. Be made well from your spells. You see, we go through spells, you need to get well. The way you get well, thank God, rejoice, sing songs. Amen. Change the atmosphere. Brother Ram goes right on. He says, when I get into those spells, I get all worked up. Satan comes telling me, why, nobody cares for you. You haven't really got a friend in the world. Remember, I'm not immune to the temptation. I got to overcome that. He says, but then I look back and see something like this. And he points back to a boy that got healed of a rheumatic fever. He points back to the people that were driving 1,500 miles. Some of them driving 900 miles one way to come to church. He says, I point back at that and I put that right back in the devil's face and say, what about that? And he says, and that helps me overcome. Amen. You start pointing back. You say, well, I've got a bad case of gout today. I can't hardly even get around. Amen. Point back to the last time that God healed you of the spell. Point back to the last day, but I felt good the other day and I plan on going back to that. Going back to that day. Oh, you say, my blood pressure is all out of whack. Remember when you had good blood pressure. Oh, you say, well, my sugar, it's all over the chart. I can't never get in control of it. Oh, just point back to a day when you did have good sugar. Point back to remember when God did heal you. Maybe when He did touch you. Go back to the day when you was lost in sin and without God and without hope. And point back to the day when you met Jesus. And nothing else really matters after that. Hallelujah. You say, devil, take me if you want me. Amen. You can't take me till God's through with me. And when God's through with me, I don't want to be here anyways. Hallelujah. Oh, my brother Ram comes home. Sister Mita, she says, Brother Billy, she says, Billy, I'm about to lose my mind. Well, I went back and read the story. Brother Bram comes home. Sister Mita's been there all day by herself with the little kitties. She's got Joseph screaming on top of his lungs. Sarah and Rebecca are fighting over a bunch of blocks. They're screaming at one another. Sister Mita says, they haven't eaten all day. There's a man walking up and down the hallway in Brother Branham's house prophesying that God's going to kill Brother Branham. There's another man in the living room. He's prophesying something else. There's sick people in cots and in wheelchairs. They're laid out in the basement of the house, sick people everywhere. And she's been taking care of all these people throughout the whole day. And her own children hadn't eaten all day. When Brother Branham comes in, he finds her like that. She's a, Brother Al said she's 30, I think he said 36 years old, completely white-headed. He said, why? Because she stood between the people and me. He said, oh, there she was, and she was about to lose her mind. Brother Bam said, oh, he said, first thing he did, he took off his coat, got an apron on, he started helping her do the dishes. He said, he just laid his hand over on her and just started praying silently to himself. He said, why? Because we had to change the atmosphere. Oh, sometimes we think that, oh, the more we yell and the more we scream and the more, you know, more louder we turn the music up or whatever, you know, and play a loud tape or, you know, we rebuke the devil and yell. Brother Bam said, you can't scream the devil out. You got to live a life. You got to create an atmosphere. Oh, my. He began to tell her about a new dress. He was going to buy her a new skirt or something. You know, he began to tell her about these things. He said, Lord, help me just to get upon me the Holy Spirit in such a way will change the situation. So praying to myself, now the only thing you have to do is change the situation. If that can be done in the home, it can be done in the church. Is that right? Oh, you get a little skiff in the church, you get a little trouble, you get a little something happens, you know. Oh my, everybody gets nervous, you get a spell going on in the church. Oh, that ain't the way you do it. You change the atmosphere. Amen. Amen. You bring the musicians. Come on. Amen. I'll keep preaching if we don't do something here pretty quick. Amen. Bring my musicians. They ain't mine, they're God's. Amen. The singers. Oh, let the worshipers, amen, rejoice, amen. We're just coming to a close here. It can be done, he said, if it can be done in the church, it can be done in the home, it can be done in the whole world. It's an atmosphere that counts. The natural way to hatch an egg is put it under a hen, keeping it warm. He said, put it under the same kind of heat, it'll hatch anyhow. It's the atmosphere that counts. That's right. So it's the atmosphere. You make up that atmosphere with what you are inside of you. Oh my, if you don't have something on the inside that can change the atmosphere, then I would say let's change that. Let's change the inside of you. You need the inside of you changed or the outside is never going to get right. Oh my. He said, you're always pointing how wicked the world is getting, but fail to see how powerful the church is getting. So we're looking at the world, we're looking at sin, we're looking at the crisis all around us, and oh, we read the newspaper. I ain't took a newspaper and I don't know when. I could care less what they say. They're a bunch of liars anyhow. They don't even know how to tell the weather right. That's right. Oh, and who'd ever believe your horoscope? Oh, my, if I believed my horoscope, man, I'd be a mess. Why do we read that junk? You know, liberal, you know, bunch of sodomites anyways. It wouldn't have nothing to do with that nonsense. I had a he was chief of sales for a company I used to work for. He said, if you want to become an efficient salesman, he said, never watch the news and don't never read a paper. He said, because it's just full of negative stuff. He said, be positive, be upbeat. Oh, my. He says, you want some good news? Let me read you some good news. This is fresh off the press this morning. You're always pointing how wicked the world's getting, but fail to see how powerful the church is getting. At the same time, she's rising up, standing on the field. Oh, she's a little flat, but brother, God is with her. And she's going to triumph just as certain as Christ rose from the dead. Amen. God's church shall never fail. The gates of hell, amen, shall not prevail against it. Showed it would be against it, but it cannot prevail. Hallelujah. The church is going to triumph through the blood of Jesus Christ to the victory march. I'm positive this one thing, that God will have a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Amen. And I'm so happy about that. He says, to him that overcometh will sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome and sit down on my Father's throne. We find the true vine, the true spirit, the true church people exalted to the very throne of God with the highest compliment ever paid to a humble, steadfast group of people. That's good news, friends. Amen. To him that overcometh. You say, but I have spells. But yet the word will deliver you from your spells. When trouble begins to face you, sickness on every hand, and trouble, the angel of God comes up, goes down between you and the sickness, stands there in the way, challenging you to take God's word. God give Israel a promise. They was going to a land. There was a million probably men coming to pursue and run them down and chop them down like a bunch of animals. But the angel of the Lord, who was there to carry them to the promised land, rose up from the camp and went and stood between them and danger. Hallelujah. He still does it. He will make a way. Oh, I just love him for that, don't you? He will make a way for every sick person sitting here right now. He's already made a way, and he's standing between you and the trouble. I know that God has condescended, coming down from glory, and is standing in this building now. If you only dare to move out on God's word, see if he don't move before you now. These are just isolated quotes. No longer will the wheat and the tares grow side by side. No longer will the tares receive the blessings of God because of the presence of the wheat. For the wheat will be gone, and the wrath of God will be poured out, and the sixth seal, which will end in utter destruction of the wicked. Oh my. Let me just use one other illustration. Suppose you need healing. What does the word say? Amen. Well, we all have need of it countless times, but did you get in the spirit when reading it? That's the condition. We read the word, but we don't get in the spirit when we read the word. We say, well, I got to get this read this morning. I just got to get my chapter read here. And as soon as I get my chapter read, then I can go on about doing my dishes. No, get in the spirit. Sit down and sing and pray and get in the spirit and thank God. And, you know, and then if you can read one verse in the spirit, it would be better than reading whole books of the Bible just out of Corbin. You see? Oh, my. He says, did we ask God for His Spirit to teach us the real truth? If we did, we would call the elders, confess our sins, be anointed, prayed for, and that would be that. It might not come immediately, but in His Spirit, it is all over. There is no other court of appeal. God will fulfill His Word. Oh, we need to get in the Spirit, and then things will be done. Don't go through the acts first. Get in the Spirit, and then go through the acts, and watch and see what God will do. Do you love Him this morning? Oh my. The Word works, friends. Amen. Don't never let the devil tell you otherwise. You hold on to, Brother Adam said, you take your token with your unwavering faith and you hold on to it. Oh my. Let us stand this morning. Amen. Oh my. That's a pretty song, but I feel like something we ought to maybe tap our hands, pat our feet or something. You know? Do we know that little chorus, let the worshipers arise? Do we know that song? Nope. Okay. Well, then maybe we better sing that song he's playing then. I don't know. Amen. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Amen. I like that one. Praise the Lord. Well, I got a home in glory land, outshines the sun. Oh, I got a home in glory land that. Well, I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue. Well, I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him.
Savior. You take him to look away beyond the grave. Well, I got a home in glory land. Yeah, I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Oh, I got a home in glory land. Look away. Feeling better? Amen. Amen. I always feel better when I talk about this good old way. Amen. The devil, he don't like it. But I'm feeling better. Amen. Well, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Well, the devil, he don't like it, us talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. Well, let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, that's feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. Well, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. Well, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Amen. That's right. Oh, my. Brother Ben said, you talk about God and the angels. He says, and they'll come near. Amen. You talk about spirits and ghosts and demons and sicknesses and things like that. All the symptoms will get worse and the spirit will get gloomy. And oh my, we don't need that. Amen. We need to be happy in the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. I believe we had somebody that was sick among us this morning that need to be prayed for, wanted to be prayed for. Why? Amen. They told me to call for the sick. And that's a little backwards. I think she called for the elders. I think that's a, amen. So there was a one that needed to be prayed for. I don't see a oil bottle here. Oh, here it is. And if there's any others, why, you know, this is, Brother Brown said, anybody that had could believe had a gift of healing. Is that right? So according to a vindicated prophet, I have a gift of healing just like he had. Just like the Lord Jesus had. So if Jesus is here this morning, he couldn't heal. Is that right? He couldn't heal because he already done it 2,000 years ago. Amen. So we're not, we're just here to be thankful. Lay claims on our God-given promises. Is that right? And so by a divine gift, amen. And now, in my life, it goes on a little bit further than that. The Lord spoke to me in tongues and interpretation one time. Said, if I'd obey the laws of the lands, even His law, He said, I'd give you a great sign of faith.
Amen. So I do operate under a divine gift. It was given to me by the angel of the Lord himself. Amen. All the times that we've seen the Lord heal and the Lord deliver. So if you need prayer for the sick this morning, well, this is what we come for. Amen. That's why we come. That's why we preach. Is that right? To build your faith up so that you'll know. Amen. The devil may come against you with all manner of things, but he cannot prevail. Amen. Because we have a revelation. Praise be to God. I don't fall down here and break my neck before we get to...
And now.
Dismiss myself.
Amen.
And then I suppose we have an evening service. Yes.
Yes. 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Amen. We'll see you again. Amen. We'll just water the little seeds that have been sown in your heart as we worship God for just a little while here. And then, amen. We'll dismiss you in Jesus' name.
So glad I knew. So glad. so glad you found me and set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Hallelujah. Hard to dismiss in a good spirit like this, isn't it? Praise the Lord. How many's glad you come to church this morning? It's just been good to be here today. Just His precious Spirit, His love, His grace, His goodness is here this morning. You know, if the world could just get a hold of this, it'd be all right. They wouldn't be out here fighting and carrying on, trying to do all these things that they do to have enjoyment. And I'm so glad this morning that we get our joy and peace through Jesus Christ. Amen. Appreciate the word this morning. And we're just going to let you be dismissed in a word of prayer. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just good to be here in Your presence this morning. Good to hear Your word, Lord. Know that heaven and earth will pass away, but Your word will never fail. Lord, we can depend upon it, Father. We can count on it, Lord, and believe on it every day, every hour, every moment of the day. Bless these people as they go this morning. Lord, just have Your way today. Bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. I worship Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship.